Our sermon today is based on a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, no, chapter 15, verses 42 through 49. Paul writes, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. As one of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as one of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the one of dust, we will also bear the image of the one of heaven." Thank you, God, for planting us and nurturing us and watching over us as we grow. Can't get over the resurrection. Easter Sunday was a week ago, and we had a wonderful service, didn't we? The ringing, the singing, the music, all the friends and all the joy. It was wonderful. But I can't get over the resurrection. I still find myself caught up in the mystery and the majesty of the moment. Imagine it. Imagine if you had been an early riser walking through the garden graveyard on that long ago Sunday morning, and suddenly you see one of the huge stones in front of one of the tombs rolling aside by itself. And then you see someone, Jesus, coming out of the tomb, no longer dead but fully alive. Here was life in the place of death. Out of despair and gloom, here was hope and light. How exactly did it happen? What was the instant of resurrection like? Did Jesus open his eyes, sit up, slip out of his grave clothes, and walk out of the tomb like he owned the world, which he does? What kind of body does someone who's been resurrected have? These are not new questions. I'm not the first to ask them, and I won't be the last. The Apostle Paul must have heard them a time or two himself as he went around preaching about Jesus being resurrected. He didn't seem to think it was a worthwhile question. It kind of irked him when people asked it. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 and 38, "Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool." The questioner must have really tried Paul's patience for him to snap at them like that. Calling someone a fool was a high insult. He continued, "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain." I wonder if Paul was a gardener. In seeking an answer to the question about resurrection, he latched onto a description straight out of the dirt, as though he had some experience with planting, sowing, and reaping. "It's like a seed," he said. "You plant a bare seed in the ground, just a little bitty seed, and then it grows into what it is supposed to be. It's amazingly different from the seed that was planted. It could become a stalk of wheat or a lily or even a tree." The point Jesus made in the reading from John was that a seed has to die in order for it to grow. If it stays on the stalk and withers away, nothing comes of it. If you keep it in a seed packet, it won't grow. But if you plant that seed and the seed falls into the ground and dies so that the kernel can start to germinate, wonderful things can happen. The grain will grow and start bearing fruit. It will be useful. It will provide food, or it may just provide beauty, but it will be different from what it started out as. Take a pumpkin seed. You know what one looks like. So you put it into the ground, this little white pod, this bare seed. You plant it in the dirt and the darkness, just as Jesus was planted in the darkness of the tomb, carved out of the earth. And then you water that seed over and over. And then one day you see a stalk, and then a bud, and then a leaf, and then you see a little baby pumpkin. And that grows bigger and bigger and bigger, all orange and round and plump, different from and better than the seed you planted at first. And inside that pumpkin, just as Jesus said, are other seeds you can plant so you can have more pumpkins. Jesus said, if a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it will bear much fruit. And ain't it the truth? You planted that pumpkin seed and it died, but it came back to life in a new and different way. And it grew and grew, and now you can have pumpkin pie. That's what the metaphor of the seed implies. Something dies, but something new is coming. When Jesus spoke these words about the grain of wheat needing to die to be better than it currently was, he was no doubt thinking about his own death and resurrection. He knew he had to die like a grain of wheat in order for something new, something bigger and better to grow. And he was resigned, if not even eager, to have the miracle happen so he could bring to humankind the gift of eternal life. He could not become the bread of life unless, just like a grain of wheat, he was planted in the ground and died. One commentator said, in Christ, the death of a seed is not an obstacle, but a condition for its passage to a higher and richer life, a life eternal with Christ. Jesus also said those who follow him have to be willing to die, mostly figuratively, dying to ourselves and our selfish wants and wishes, dying to our old ways of life that ignored God's will and took Jesus Christ for granted. All the old stuff becomes like compost. As it rots away, it makes the hopeful seed grow and become more Christ-like, more in tune to what God wants from us, what God wants us to be, more ready to turn to the sun and bloom and blossom and bear much fruit. Paul was correct in using a gardening analogy to explain to people what the resurrection was like, to assure them that Christ had to die in order for us to grow. He explained the analogy further by showing the contrast between what is planted and what grows. He said, what is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. By this, he means that our bodies are destined to perish and disintegrate. It's hard to imagine and resign ourselves to it, but that's just the way it goes. Our bodies at death immediately begin to decompose, but that leads to the next step. Like a seed, we are germinated, we are reborn, we are made new and different and better if we die in the knowledge of Jesus and the hope of the resurrection. We will be raised to eternal life. Paul says the body is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. The lifeless body can't do anything more. But when the Spirit of God enters into the body, it surely entered into the crucified body of Christ, it comes storming back in a blaze of glory. Paul continues, the body is sown in weakness and is raised in power. Yes, the same power that brought Jesus Christ out of the grave alive will empower and repower us. It's the same power that Jesus had when he was resurrected to walk through walls, to appear and disappear at will, to offer praise and adoration to God for this display of might and mercy. These powers will be ours too. Because as Paul adds, it is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. The physical body has limits. There's only so much we can do. A physical body is time-bound and space-bound, but a spiritual body has no such limits. Can we eat, you may ask, in our resurrected bodies? Well, when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the beach after his resurrection, they sat and ate a breakfast of fish and bread together. When the disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus told the others that they had seen and walked with and talked to the Lord, Jesus himself suddenly appeared among them and said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. They could touch his resurrection body, and it wasn't like a ghost's body. It was real. Jesus told them, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." I'm not saying I know exactly what a resurrection body will be like. These scripture passages give us only a tantalizing glimpse into what it will be like. They are given to us to reassure us and take away some of the fear of death that hangs over our heads. They are given to us to give us hope. We can't take an earthly body into the spiritual realm. We're going to be changed. We have to be changed. And that change is going to be glorious and powerful. No one can quite explain it. But Paul seems to say we are all seeds that God will one day plant in God's own beautiful, bountiful garden. Do you hear that promise? We are going to get back to the garden. There was the first Garden of Eden. There was the second garden where Christ was raised. And we are on our way to the last best garden, the garden we have been missing all our lives, the garden we have been fighting to get back to, the heavenly garden of God, where when everything that is planted grows well forever and ever. God is going to plant us in it and watch us grow. Like I said, I just can't get over the resurrection. Then again, maybe we aren't supposed to, and I'm okay with that. I hope you are too. Let us pray. God, the power, the might, the majesty, in all these things we praise you because these promises you have made have come true through Jesus Christ. May we grow into his likeness, possessing his love and mercy and reveling in resurrection joy, now and forevermore. Amen.